So today we hear this really powerful gospel of the raising of Lazarus. There's a number of times, three times actually, in the gospels where Jesus raises the dead. The raising of Lazarus is the last example. The first one is the raising of a small girl. This is in Mark's gospel. The daughter of Jairus. If you remember, Jairus goes and finds Jesus and asks him to come and heal his daughter who's fallen ill. And then in the meantime, the hemorrhaging woman comes and finds Jesus and touches him, and he has this long interaction with the hemorrhaging woman. And in the meantime, the little girl dies. And so then word is sent to Jesus, you don't need to bother to come. But he goes anyway, and the house is surrounded by people who are weeping. And he says, why are you weeping? And he goes into the house and shuts everybody out. And then he says, Talitha kum. And he raises that little girl from the dead. She'd only been dead a short amount of time. An incredible miracle. The second time is a younger man, a little bit older than the little girl. And this is the only son of the widow. And he's entering the city of Nain, and then this woman is coming out with a funeral procession for her son, and her son's body is lying on this board, and they're carrying it in procession. And they're on their way to the tomb where his body will be prepared for burial. And then he'll be laid in the tomb. And Jesus touches the funeral pyre. And of course, like, this is shocking because you can't touch a dead body if you're a Jew. That was against the law. You'd become unclean. But Jesus can only make clean. So he touches the funeral pyre and the young man wakes up. He'd been dead probably a couple days. And then we have the third one is the story we heard today of Lazarus, who's really deader than dead in the sense that he's been dead for 4 days. And the reason that number is significant is because it was on the ancient Jewish belief was that the soul stayed close to the body for 3 days after death, but on the fourth day then the soul left the body and then you were really dead. So significant. He'd been dead long enough that his body was starting to decompose. So it's a really impressive miracle that Jesus worked. So interesting that in these three raisings of the dead, the fathers of the church notice that the person dead has been dead for a different length of time in each case. So the girl had just been dead for a few minutes maybe, or a few hours. The young man had been dead just for a couple days. He was on his way to the tomb to be buried and had not yet been wrapped in the burial cloths. But Lazarus is wrapped in the burial cloths, and he's in the tomb, and his body's even starting to decompose. And the fathers of the church saw in the raising of the dead a symbol. And it's similar to Jesus' other miracles. Last week we heard the story of the healing of the man who was born blind. And of course that physical blindness is a symbol of spiritual blindness. In that case, the spiritual blindness caused by original sin. And how Jesus is the remedy for that. So the fathers of the church were seeing in all of these different miracles, physical healings, a symbol of the spiritual. So the healing of the blind is those who are spiritually blind. And the raising of the dead they saw as a symbol of those who were spiritually dead. And how does our soul die? Well, it's through sin. And this is what sin does to our soul, hurts us, hurts our soul. And so interestingly, the fathers of the church saw this in these three people raised from the dead, kind of the the different times in one's spiritual life that they're in varying degrees of being dead from sin. So for instance, we have this young girl who's been dead just a short amount of time. And St. Augustine said that this is a symbol of the soul who's just beginning to experience sin in their life. And Jesus, thankfully, provides the remedy for that. He raises that girl out of that spiritual death, just at its beginning stages. And then St. Augustine said the young man who's being carried out on the funeral pile has been dead for a couple days, but not yet wrapped or buried. And he's a symbol of those who are more stuck in sin, more stubbornly clinging to sin. And Jesus, too, is the remedy for that. He's able to raise that person from that place of being stuck. So then we have Lazarus, who's wrapped and buried in the tomb, and it's cold and dark and rotting in there. And St. Augustine said, Lazarus is a symbol of the one who's really dead in their sins, the one who's really stuck, the one for whom there seems no hope for new life, no hope for forgiveness, powerless, completely enslaved by sin. And Jesus is the remedy also for this person. And at a single word of Jesus, this person can be raised from that place of spiritual death. Maybe we've felt that ourselves, or maybe we know someone who's in that really bad place of being so stuck in sin where it doesn't seem like there's any hope for them. People who've suffered from addiction can get in this place where they're just so stuck, and it seems like there's no hope for them even. They're completely powerless against sin. One of the things that we notice, and I've noticed during my life as I've struggled with sin, is how sin really does cause a dying inside of us where we're less and less our true selves. And maybe you've noticed this in yourself or in others, how when someone's really stuck in sin, they're not themselves. They're not the same person. You might hear someone like who's in this place say things like, I'm lost, or I don't feel like myself. And there's a truth to that, because that the sin has a really harmful, destructive effect on our soul. And our soul is what makes us who we are. This is what gives us like the life of our personality and in our relationships. And so we've maybe seen this in ourselves or in other people. But the good news is that from this gospel, we see that Jesus is also the remedy for someone who's even so stuck like this. And I think of people who I've known and walked with as a priest who have been in really, really bad places in their life. And by the grace of God, he was able to bring them out of that. Especially through the sacrament of reconciliation and then a walking with Jesus in their life. Something kind of interesting is that at the end of this passage, so Jesus shouts towards the tomb, Lazarus, come out. And then the man comes out, but yet he's still tied with the burial cloths. And then Jesus commands those who are around him, saying, untie him and let him go. It's interesting because this word in the Greek that's translated untie is used in other places of the gospel where Jesus is releasing someone from a demon, where he's exorcising a demon. It's the same word in the Greek that's used. So there's not just a physical healing there, but healing here, but there is really a spiritual bondage that Jesus is freeing Lazarus from. And this is what sin is in our life. We get attached to it, addicted to it. All sorts of from the most serious sins, we can be addicted even to the least serious sins. We think about people in our life who are so who cling to the sin of anger and who are just perpetually angry. Perhaps resentful because of things that have not gone their way in this life or sufferings they've experienced in this life. People who cling to the sin of uncharity towards others, who are just always very quick to judge and say bad things about others. So this gospel isn't just about the person who's struggling with alcoholism or drug addiction or other forms of addiction that are very serious and debilitating, but it's for the person whose soul is stuck in this bad place of negativity. And with one word, Jesus can bring that person out of it. But what's interesting to me is that Jesus tells those around the person to untie him and let him go. He doesn't do it himself, but he commands others now to be engaged in this ministry of deliverance and releasing this man free of the spiritual bondage that he has because of sin. And this is precisely the activity of the church. You know, we all want, I think every week someone says to me, well, can't God just forgive me directly? And I always say, well, yeah, he can do anything, but he chooses to go through the church and to use the ministry of the church and the church's ministers in his ministry of forgiveness and releasing from bondage. And so this is like where the sacraments come in, where the sacrament of reconciliation comes in. Jesus involves others in this ministry of forgiveness and healing and deliverance. So it's Jesus is the one who raises from the dead, but he involves others in that process. So many times I've experienced that in the sacrament of reconciliation. And it's so amazing that we can commit the worst sin imaginable, and if we have sorrow for that and we bring that to the confessional, that sin is gone. It's no longer exists in God's eyes. We might remember it, other people might remember it, but God forgets it. And what we believe is that whenever we make a good confession, which is to confess any serious sins that we haven't confessed and any venial sins that we want to, our soul becomes white again like it was at our baptism. It's just amazing how at a word, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At one word that Jesus says through the priest, our soul raised from death, raised from the dead. Whether we've committed some pretty minor or venial sins, or we've committed very bad sins, either way, it's what the raisings of the dead signify. The little girl, the young man, and Lazarus, who's really stuck in that cold death of sin. So today, as we just reflect on this reality of sin in our life, we're getting so close to Holy Week, and what a good thing for us if we haven't been to confession for a long time, or if we're holding on to serious sins that we've never confessed, what a good time to do that. We can ask God for the grace that we need to do it, the courage to do it if it's been a long time. But this is what God wants us to experience in our life, new life, being raised from the death of our sins. So as we desire this for ourselves and for others in our life who are stuck in sin, let's really ask the Lord today for an outpouring of his grace that we may be moved to conversion and repentance, a return to the sacrament of reconciliation, and that our loved ones who we see this spiritual death in would do the same, so that they too and us may be raised from the dead.